You're listening to another great podcast in the Stoplight Network.
My Mac Podcast 397, Broke Glass Cell Phone.
You're listening to the G-Men on the MyMac.com podcast.
Welcome to the My Mac Podcast, number 397. Oh, it's so close. 400 is almost in touching distance. Hi, Guy. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. It is right around the corner. You guys essentially have, what, this week, next week, and the week after that? Or actually...
No.
No, is it just this week and next week?
No, it's this week. Next week and the week after that. Actually, you're right.
Yeah, that's what I said the first time. That's all the time you have left to join the contest fun.
Yes, because we will be closing the doors after 399. It will shut. We will slam those doors shut, like I just said.
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, crap. Wait. Shit. I mean, oops. Wrong sound effect, and then a naughty word just slipped in there. Sorry about that, folks.
Now, I want to know.
Yeah.
Who did you have on last week?
Because,
you know, I'm just not happy that you had somebody else on. It's not on, you know. It really isn't on.
I didn't have any choice. You couldn't be there.
Okay. I'll let you off then.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Now, yeah, Tom and Elisa were on last week.
And very good. They were too.
Yes, they were. And the interview I did with Drew Domkus was also – and it's actually,
yes.
Speaking of Drew Domkus, a quick apology to him and all the Dawn of Drew fans. I forgot to put that I had done an interview with him in the show notes before I slipped it over to Tim to put into the show. And once Tim has it and uploads it, I can't do anything else with it. But fortunately, Fearless Leader was kind enough to insert – that Drew had been on the show, but I just wanted to say, sorry.
You don't cough.
And you know what? Last week, it was either problems with Skype or problems with the way I record the show. We were having like anywhere from 1 second to 2 second delays in Skype. And after I got done with both the interview with Drew and the show with Tom and Elisa, I had to scrub through the entire show, pulling out like a second here and a second there after each time somebody would finish talking. Oh my God. I had a serious ice cream headache by the time we got done.
You did a pretty good job on cleaning it up then, Guy, I must say, but what a nightmare.
Oh, it was. Nightmare. Yep. And I'm actually doing something new.
Look, go ahead. Stop talking over me. You know,
okay.
I know I've only been away a week.
Sorry.
Just chill out, will you? Thank you to both Tom and Lisa for standing in. In my absence, it's much appreciated.
Yep. And I have a new way yet again of recording the show, and we'll go into that a little bit later. But
excellent.
But I did have some other problems this week.
I did, yes. I was just going to mention, actually, that in the show notes, you've mentioned something about glass and iPhone 4S.
Yes. I broke the glass. I had like two hairline splinters in the glass of my iPhone 4S. Because I have this clock radio that I usually set it in to charge up at night. Yeah. And when I woke up in the morning, I was like fumble, trying to turn off the alarm. And I not only knocked the phone out of its cradle, I knocked the whole clock radio off the table. And everything just went tumbling down to the floor. And I didn't notice it at first, but then later on that morning, I was looking at my phone. It was like, oh, well, I got to wipe that off. And then it wouldn't wipe off. And it was like, oh, no. What have I done? So I ended up going on over to the same place that I had the battery replaced in the 3GS some time ago, the cell phone care center.
Yeah. Cell phone care center. They'll make
your phone all better. They're open 7 days. Okay, all right. Yeah, and while I was there, I told them, you guys replaced the battery in my 3GS, and on our podcast the next week, I played your cell phone jingle. And he was like, oh, yeah, that's great. I said, yeah, you guys should sponsor the podcast. He was like, yeah, sure, we'll get right on that. Here's your phone. That'll be $80, please. I said, sure. But you know, the weird thing was, while I was waiting for them to replace the glass, some guy walked over to me, and he had one of those big Android phones.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me, he says, well, I'm trying to find the Westin Hotel in North Arlington. Now, I haven't spent a lot of time in the area, so I didn't know where it was. And, of course, I couldn't check it because I didn't have my iPhone. But I asked him, why didn't he just use the built-in GPS on his Android phone? He said it wasn't working properly. And then I asked him, well, why don't you just get an iPhone? And he grimaced. He was like, oh, it's an Apple product. And I said, all right, yeah, okay. But he could have easily shown you where you needed to be. And he walked away kind of poking at the screen of his smartphone. Yeah, he was like, yeah, good luck finding that hotel, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, ask me again.
When you mentioned the iPhone, our buddy said,
don't even think about it.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. And then as he walked away, this is what he said. Oh, yeah, we love Android users. You know, we really, really, really do.
We do.
I don't know why I find that so funny. I really don't know why.
Do you know, I don't find it funny. I just find it funny that you find it funny.
Well, as everyone that has listened to this show for a long time knows, I am easily amused.
Yes. So. Well, since my last visit to chatting with you,
yeah,
not a great deal's happened to me in my Mac world. I've got to admit, it's been fairly quiet. I've been extremely busy at work, and we're still extremely busy at work. And so my I've been pretty quiet on Twitter. I've been pretty quiet working with a Mac and doing all those sorts of stuff. So yeah, all quiet on the Western Front, I'm afraid, over here.
Well, that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Well, not necessarily a bad thing, Drew. True. Very true. So, as we mentioned at the start, we are getting very close to number 400, and we have a contest at number 400, and we've got lots of prizes, I believe, Guy.
Oh my goodness gracious, yes. We have so many prizes. And of course the only thing you have to do to enter the contest is go to your Facebook account, look up My Mac Podcast, and like the Facebook page. And if you don't want to do that, send us an email.
Yeah, and especially me, because
Hold on. I got an email from, and I can't find it now. Somebody sent me an email saying that they wanted to be entered into the contest. And if you look, I know what I can do. I can just look on the My Mac Podcast page. Stephen Axtell sent me an email asking to be entered into the contest via email, and by God, I did it. Reluctantly, yes, but I did do it. And we have lots of prizes on that, on this, whatever we're calling it, the contest.
The 400 contest.
So,
I think that's
so smooth. Yeah. I'm so smooth tonight.
I'll tell you what, we're just, you know, such a smooth pair of operators, aren't we? The G-Men. Smooth operators.
There's a bumper there somewhere. Well, from ALK Technologies, we have two copies of the Copilot iOS GPS application.
And from BusyMac Software, we've got two copies of BusyCow.
And Splasm Software is supplying two copies of Audiobook Builder and one copy of Checkbook Pro.
ZeoBit Software, two copies of MacKeeper 2012. Now, there's a Points. Warning there. Oh, no. I'll ignore that warning. No.
Yeah. That's not going to do that. Tom wasn't happy. I should have thought about this.
Moving on.
From Boink Software, two copies of iStop Motion Pro, Photomagico Pro, and Boink's TV. Tom, you're even now, a week later, you're getting me in trouble.
Mac Fun Software FX Studio Pro, two copies.
From Publications International Limited, iCookbook.com, two copies of iCookbook.
Slink Software, Slinkware.com, 10 copies. We still haven't spoken about that, have we, really?
No, actually, next week, why don't we go into like what all this stuff does next week?
Yeah, that's going to be a long show.
Yeah, yeah. Tell me about it. Well, not as long as when we actually award the prizes. For Reggie Ashworth, we have two copies of App Delete from the Mac App Store and two copies of App Delete and VidConvert from his website.
Real Mac Software, two copies of Rapid Weaver, Analog, and Courier.
Noodlesoft.com, two copies of Hazel.
Oh, that's good. There's lots of chat about Hazel at the moment. So if you do searching, whoever wins those copies and you haven't got Hazel, just do a quick search in Google for Hazel and Hazel scripts and you'll come up with tons of stuff. I love that program. So we've also got Plask, three copies each of Comic Life 2 and Comic Life for the iPad.
And from Smile Software, we have three copies of Text Expander, PDF Pro, and Disk Label.
That would be PDF Pen Pro, of course. And yes, lastly,
I knew that.
By no means least, Twisted Wave, which is an iOS audio app.
Yay!
Yay!
And I already said this, that Stephen Axtell joined the MyMac 400th podcast contest by sending me an email proving that just because you didn't like us on Facebook doesn't mean I want to enter you into the contest. So there. I wrote it, so I had to say it.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
Just forget that I already said it before.
Okay, so should we pop over to the mymac.com?
Let's do that quickly as we can.
Okay, there's a hard drive review by Russ Walkovich. Actually, I think it's less a hard drive, but the actual enclosure.
Yeah, the enclosure, yeah.
Yeah, so for the reasonable price that the unit is sold for, one would have to be blind to the capability of reusing a hard drive that you may have on hand. So if you're looking for an enclosure to put a 2.5-inch hard drive or SSD in to solve a storage issue, give OWC's Express Super Speed Enclosure a close look. And that's from Russ Walkovich.
From Donnie Yankolo, he does a review of the HTML Egg Web Page Creator for iOS. If you have a website and an iOS device, wouldn't it be great to be able to edit that website through an app on the iOS device? Donnie had been looking for such an app, and Donnie was very excited when he was given the opportunity to try the HTML, Egg Web Page Creator for iOS.
I'll help you. HTMP Egg Web Page Creator.
Wait a minute. HTMP?
All I did was copy it from the website, so it must be HTML. I think there might be a mistake on the page there.
Maybe.
Well, perhaps it's my fault. It slapped my wrist and it might get changed by the time you go and read that particular article. Next is Eyes on Remote Room Monitor. This is a review from Kurt Blanchard. The Eyes-On Remote Room Monitor by STEM Innovation is an app-controlled device that becomes part of your Wi-Fi network. It watches and listens. We're watching you. to room activity and sends the stream to your iOS device. Basically, because your iPhone, iPad, or iPod Touch is mobile, you can see and hear what's happening wherever you are. Even if you're on another Wi-Fi or out about on Edge or 3G. That's pretty good if it does it on Edge, actually.
Yep.
Yeah, just consider the possibilities. Baby monitoring, home surveillances while you're away, keeping track of pets.
Darn,
not sure
pets.
About that one. Yeah, watching your front door. Not so sure about that one, but I understand where he's coming from.
Oodles and hours of fun.
There's hours and oodles of fun.
Actually, look at that front door.
Actually, I did see a clip which could be quite interesting. It was watching a bird table or a bird feeder. So obviously, you know, you can keep a close eye on those rare birds that come to your feeder. Anyway, that's the Eyes-On Remote Room Monitor, which is a review from Kurt Blanchard.
And we have Tech Fan Podcast number 47. I don't know why it said 7. Under the Sea, David and Tim host an abbreviated Tech Fan this week due to technical difficulties and a storm moving in. Topics include Adobe advertising strategy, Dell departing from the cell phone business like anyone even knew they were there, and the downward spiral of RIM, and Jeff Bezos finding the Apollo 11's F1 engine at the bottom of the ocean, which I think is way cool.
Now, the next item on the website keeps disappearing because Guy and I seem to have a bit of a dispute as to whether we should mention it or not. I didn't want to. He put it back in. I whipped it out again. So you'll have to go over to the website and have a read about iDVD on your iPad.
iDVD for iOS. I don't know who wrote that. It is a mystery.
It's a mystery.
It may actually be somebody that's on this podcast. We have a
now I understand why you wanted to put it in.
Well, I wanted you to get all the credit you deserved, Gaz. For Rich Lefko,
right?
We have WeebyTech RTX. All right, you know what? Actually, before I say this, Tim had called me just before, I think it was like March 30th, and that he wanted to do something for April Fool's Day. So what he told me was he wanted to create an article for iDVD for iOS, which just even on the face of it is like completely ridiculous. You know, I mean, the iOS devices don't even have a DVD drive. So I took like the pros from some previous Apple announcement and, you know, changed the words around and put in things like, you know, virtual optical disc and things like this. And he didn't include it in the article, but I actually wrote a review of the product. For a non-existent product, but he didn't include that part of it.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It was just a little April Fool's gag from the wonderful writers and people from MyMac.com. Rich, getting back to the usual nonsense, Rich Lefko writes about the WeebyTech RTX 220-QX. Who comes up with these friggin' names? Pro storage at an affordable price. This is from WeebyTech's mini desktop RAID storage solutions in their RTX line, the RTX 220-QR. This is a two-bay RAID solution for your desktop that offers RAID 0 Stripe or RAID 1 mirror options. It also includes a PCIe eSATA card for a Mac Pro, enabling you to use the RTX unit with an eSATA connection.
Yeah. You know, somebody sitting at WeebyTech thought long and hard about that name and that number, and it means something to somebody somewhere.
Well, happy birthday to whoever it was that came up with RTX 220-QX, because it just rolls. It rolls off the tongue.
It rocks your boat, doesn't it, guys?
Sure does.
Okay, so lastly on the website, as we talk tonight, is basically it's an opinion piece from our good friend Mark Greentree about the iPad third generation, and he titles it "You Can't Touch This, It's Too Hot." And Mark basically just gives us a bit of information about the so-called heat problems that the iPad 3 may or may not have been having.
Yeah, maybe just a little overblown.
Just
perhaps. Yeah, well, of course, I don't know, since I don't have an iPad 3. Oh, stop it. Stop that laugh.
It's certainly not hot in my hands.
We got some feedback from Twitter.
If
you guys don't follow us on Twitter, you really, really should, including the Guy and Gaz Twitter feed. You'll see all this crazy stuff every week from the usual gang of friends. Apparently, Bob DeGrand likes Stacy's mom. And Gary Apter thinks that Tom's Gaz imitation is nifty.
Stand by to stand by, and we'll be right back.
No, we're not leaving yet. That was actually Tom from last week, which was a pretty darn good Gaz standby imitation, I think.
No, that was me. I've got the recording later.
No, that was the recording. Or was it? You hurt me like this sometimes. I get all confuddled.
I know. Okay, we got some feedback from Facebook. Eric Burgoso. He's going to kill me now, isn't he? He can't wait.
Probably.
He says he can't wait for iDVD. Oh, now I see why you desperately wanted me to mention it on the website. Can't wait for iDVD for the iPad, and doesn't think that there will be a BlackBerry version. Antonio Martinez likes Drew, Tom, and Elisa, but really missed Kaz. Oh, thank you. He's also testing Mountain Lion. Peter Bird wants to know what we think of Mountain Lion so far.
Well, I don't have a Mac that I can run it on right now. So,
well, I've got to be pretty honest. It's a little bit. No, it's been.
You download it?
What, like Mountain? Oh, sorry, Mountain Lion. Oh,
yeah.
I'm not thinking straight. I'm just thinking straight Lion. No, I haven't. I've got no idea. I've got no idea what Mountain Lion is like. I'm not a tester. I'm not a developer. I'm not going to pay the money to become a developer. And I'm not going to download it. It's out there. So I've got absolutely no idea what it's like either.
Well, I would like to know, but I can't. And I am in the process of
trying to beg, borrow, or steal.
I know. I have time. I know I have time.
Yes.
Mm.
Patience, my Padawan.
Patience you must have. So what is this phobia word of the day?
Osmophobia.
Ah, I know what this is. I know what this is.
Go on.
This is the fear of Donny Osmond. And I understand it completely. I've been afraid of that guy for a long time.
Okay,
is that right?
No. Oh. It's the fear of smell.
Okay, well, that's not far off. I'm sure he smells too.
Yeah. I should finish that, really. It's the fear of smell.
Oh, so smells.
Really, the fear of odor. Interesting one. You just have to walk around with a peg on your nose.
Well, I like mine better.
Yeah, yours was much better.
So now, funnier.
I put a geek alert in, which I thought was a funny one, because it was obviously an April Fool's joke.
Yeah, I saw this.
But I've put it in there, and basically it's Hungry Hippos for the iPad. And it was an April Fool's, but I've got to say, it's brilliant. So we've put it in the show notes and go over and take a look.
Yep. And real quick, there also Think Geek, which has a tendency to do some April Fool's things that sometimes actually comes out to be real products eventually. Like their arcade case originally was an April Fool's gag. But it got so much attention that they went ahead and actually created the darn thing. Well, now they have a new one. It's an inflatable captain's chair from the original Enterprise, from Star Trek.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's only good for little kids up to 120 pounds. That's what I said when I read that. Okay, let's get us out of here.
Okay. You want me to take us out?
Take us out.
Stand by to stand by, and we'll be right back.
Now, see, I don't know if that was you or Tom.
Mike, nice to see you.
Nice to see you, John.
I always wanted to ask you, do you ever listen to any podcasts?
Oh, I'm a busy, busy guy. I don't have time to listen to podcasts, but I do listen to one.
What is it?
The App Minute Podcast.
Are you a geek?
I guess so.
What do you mean you guess so? Prove your geek cred.
I don't need to prove myself to you. I'm the new host of the geekiest show ever.
We will see about that.
Don't you just hate it when droids think they have all the control and don't know their role? You know, they forget that we can turn the power off.
Oh no, you can't.
Oh yes, I can.
Don't, please. I'll be good.
That's better. Nothing worse than artificial intelligence being, well, unintelligent. Head across to iTunes and subscribe to the Geekiest Show Ever podcast, the only show truly dedicated to geekery.
Like a well-tuned sports car without any wheels, It's the G-Men on the MyMac.com podcast.
I'll be all right when I get me eye in.
And welcome back to the MyMac.com podcast. Oh, no. Oh, this is why I love doing a show with you guys. I really do. You know, we come out of these breaks, and 9 times out of 10, I'm like laughing hysterically over something that Gaz has done or said just before I'm ready to start. And he always times it so perfectly. It's like, okay, guy's getting ready to talk, so now I have to hit him. And then you do. And then it's like, Anyway.
I'm sorry.
Don't be. It's great. I don't get enough laughs in my life. We have the stuff we're going to talk about during this break. We got a couple of emails. One from Neil Wharton, and he writes, "Hi, chaps. Here's a couple of thoughts for feedback on the podcast. I had a thought about Gaz using his old iPod for listening to music through the house. How about installing the Apple Remote app on the iPad? That way, the iTunes library stays on the Mac Mini, and its audio output stays the same. You just control it from the iPod. It will also let you change the audio output on the Mac Mini, so if you do connect an Airport Express, it will let you select it as an output from the Apple Remote app." And I put in here that, you know, I couldn't speak for you, but in this case, I saw that the problem, it was basically one of simplicity, over technical prowess. Mrs. Gazmaz just wanted to play music that she could hear while she was doing whatever it was she was doing around the house, and she didn't want to mess around with a lot of stuff or wonder what to do in case it didn't work for some reason. And I kind of felt that that's why the low-tech approach is usually the best approach, especially in this particular case. All she has to do is plug the cable into the headset jack on her iPod, and start whatever playlist it is that she wants.
Yeah, and it's not because she's not technically inept at doing something like that. It's just because
isn't she?
No, she isn't technically inept.
Okay.
So, is that right? Isn't technically inept. She is. I think that's
no,
right.
No.
Is that a double negative? Right? Is that wrong?
I think that's like a double negative.
She's really dim.
Right. Don't say that.
Right. Okay, she's technically capable of doing it.
There.
The problem is she just wants to press a button and go. She doesn't want to be messing about. So you're spot on there. However, there is another problem. Another problem as to why that won't work in this instance. And that problem is the Mac Mini is wired. It's not on the Wi-Fi because I want it as hot speed as I can through the Mac Mini throughput. Now, I could turn the Wi-Fi on, but even that wouldn't solve the problem, which is the iPod is the first generation iPod. Therefore, it is not on N speeds and it is not N capable. So it is linked up to my guest network, which is on G speeds, and it being on a different network means that it won't be able to see the library.
That would make sense.
So because obviously I put it on those the guest network because it's basically I split the two to keep the two different speeds in for the different devices so that when one of those devices kicks in, it doesn't slow the rest of the high-speed network down.
Yeah, you just got to love how Wi-Fi works or sometimes doesn't work. Why don't you take the next one?
But to Neil's response, that would have been the way that I would have gone. And to be perfectly honest with you, I have been keeping my eye on the refurb store, the Apple refurb store, just in case a little iPod comes up. But you know, for the time being, it works perfectly, and she's quite happy. So Neil goes on. He says that he had a thought about the Mac OS versus the iOS. Eventually, they will converge, as we can all guess. But there is still a big step to take into account before this can happen. All iOS apps have to be written on the Mac. So until there are development tools written for the iOS that allows a developer to write the apps on the iOS devices, then the Mac isn't going anywhere. Also, all of the management tools for looking after the iOS devices are Mac-based. There are a great set of tools on Lion Server, for looking after multiple devices. And just recently, Apple have released the configurator for the Mac to look after multiple devices. Without these tools supporting multiple devices, it would be a nightmare. Each device would have its would have to have its own iTunes account, its own set of applications. This just wouldn't be a manageable solution of looking after these devices in a non-consumer environment, i.e. education, IT, industry, with more than just a few devices to manage, with strict lockdown rules. Now, you certainly got a reply to that.
Yeah. I basically put here that we already have utilities in iOS for things like our airport router, so it's really just a matter of time before the other parts are also written for iOS, like configuring multiple iOS devices for educators or for business. If I had to guess, I'd say that probably the next major version of iTunes, if that's even what they end up calling it, might incorporate some of these things like keeping track of multiple devices, keeping them in sync with one account and so on. The management of it would probably be on the Mac side first, but eventually cross over to iOS. It really only makes sense since by keeping it simple and easy to use, they sell more devices to schools and business. Instead of having some difficult to configure server, you could have a large cabinet for docking multiple devices with a single Mac or PC running iTunes or whatever the software turns out to be called on a daily or weekly sync. The parameters of the sync can be remotely controlled to multiple locations, but that's not really what we're talking about. It's local syncing, which could be controlled eventually with just iOS devices.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, and I partially agree also with Neil, but I'll go back to what I think I originally said, that Macs aren't going anywhere soon. I know that you have a slight fear that we are moving down that route, but I still agree with some of the things that Neil said, that you know the Macs just aren't going anywhere because they're being used for so many other things. And also, if we all take a step back, it's still a very nice business for Apple. And why are why are they building bigger and bigger stores just to hold more and more iPads and iPhones? I don't think so. You could almost have a kiosk, you know. So you've got to look at the bigger picture, and their bigger picture is they want stores. They're building bigger and bigger stores in some of the large cities, and that's to hold a plethora of different products. So I think even medium term, which in computing terms could be 6 months. No, seriously, it could be about three or 4 years. I think the Mac's not going to be with us long term. So, yeah.
Yeah, the only part that has me concerned is when they said they were going to step up macOS development with a release once a year. And that's the part that makes me think that they're going toward this faster than they are rather than later.
Yeah, but I think, Guy, that is just a combination of making sure people, you know, keep the two in sync, because they've almost been bringing out annually an iOS upgrade, and I think they need
every
to
year
kind of,
yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's just the link between the two. I don't think the Mac and its capabilities are going anywhere soon.
No, and I would agree with that.
Yeah, and Neil finishes off to say, great podcast, hope I get to come on again in the future to chat with you chaps. So yeah, I'm sure we'll have you again soon, Neil.
As a matter of fact, Neil, why don't you get a hold of either Gaz or me, and let's set something up after the whole, you know, 400th podcast contest thing is over with.
Yep. Good idea.
And we got another email, or a email, from Nick Hall. He says, hi guys, recently got into the show and loving it. Keep up the great work. Thank you, Nick. I have an iPad 2, although I think so.
Is he talking about us? He must be thinking.
No,
about
he's
thinking about another podcast, but he's talking to us. Yeah, that's what's happening.
Yeah, welcome to the Mackie Gab. No, that's not right. he says he has an iPad 2. Although I know some of us have migrated to the new iPad, the challenge that I've been searching the internet for without some. Although I know some of us have migrated to the new iPad. Oh, boy. I'm not even sure how to read that.
Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm already lost.
Although I know some of us have migrated to the new iPad, challenge that I've been searching the internet for without much success, at least not exactly what I want, and I thought maybe you guys have some experience. I am in adult education. You could take that one in two ways. Sorry, Nick.
Oh. But you really,
That's a great line. I'm in adult education. Yeah. And actually, so is Mrs. Gazmaz, so I shouldn't laugh, really. I'm in adult education. I have to travel and teach at different companies on a daily basis. I would really like to use my iPad 2 wirelessly to present sometimes. But because I teach at various places, it's not possible to set up a fixed Wi-Fi connection. And I have no access to these companies' Wi-Fi. I do also own an Apple TV version 2, but this, again, needs Wi-Fi. I also don't have a lot of time before teaching to set things up in the rooms I use, maximum of, say, 5 minutes. I'd love to know if you guys have any solutions that you use or know of that are being used to help him through. And that's thanks, Nick, from Hamburg in Germany.
Yeah, well thank you very much, Nick. Yeah,
we
already kind of, emails back and forth with Nick about this. Go ahead, Gaz.
No, I was just going to say exactly that we sent a few emails to him, but again, you know, you kind of jumped in all over me as usual.
I'm sorry. And basically what I told Nick was that the easiest way to do this would be to add an Airport Extreme to your goodie bag. In theory, I think you could use an Airport Express properly configured. And Tom, if you're listening to the show, and I know you are, if you could let us know if I have that right, to connect to your Apple TV. But the problem would be if anything went wrong, you'd most likely be out of luck. The Airport Extreme and the iOS Airport Utility will allow you to configure your local wireless network again if the worst happened, allowing you to use something like Keynote for presentations to the groups you teach to without having to worry about local networks. And I would also say, of course, you could use really any N-based wireless router. The problem being if something does go wrong, you wouldn't be able to configure it from your iPad.
Yeah, I was wondering whether, and I did say I'd try and test this, but I haven't had a chance to. And I said I was thinking possibly the use of a MiFi might help so he can create his own little network. But of course, the problem there is you've got to have a 3G connection because obviously it won't put out a Wi-Fi signal until it actually sees a 3G connection. So that would then give him the capability to be able to stream up to the internet, which is not what he's looking to do. He's obviously just looking to be able to get the connection from his iPad to the Apple TV so that he can then display on any device. The only other thing is...
Or on any HDMI-capable device, TV set or what have you.
I suppose the simplest answer would be to get a HDMI to 30-pin connector. But then it's got to make sure that any device that he's looking at, has got a HDMI connection on it.
Yeah. I still think, just look for, go to the refurb stores, look for, because you don't need like the latest and greatest Airport Extreme. An older N base would be just fine. I would say go ahead and use that, connect up through that to your Apple TV for your iPad. I think that would do it just groovy cool. So why not?
It just needs a little local Wi-Fi network. So if Tom's listening and he knows how that can be done easily, then give us a shout. Because, of course, I don't think you can hardwire your iPad to the Apple TV, can you?
Lots of solder. And a great big base. Glue, super glue.
And that'll take more than 5 minutes.
Yeah, and it won't work anyway. Anyway, that's it for this break. So everyone, please stand by. And we'll be right back with our last segment of the evening.
everybody. This is Lee Douglas, the host of Old Time Rock and Roll, the largest oldies podcast in the world today. I want to invite you to join us every single day of the week, 24 hours a day, for the best in oldies rock and roll music. We take requests, dedications, and have a playlist of over 110,000 songs. We never play the oldies to death. Join us at www.oldtimernr.com. See ya.
The G-Men. Better than you realise. But then they'd almost have to be.
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition!
And welcome back to the third section of the MyMac.com podcast. And I'm enjoying a guy sniggering because I'm just trying to work out how he's going to edit that one out.
I'm an alien, not so stupid.
Oh dear. So, Guy, now.
Okay. Yeah.
Apparently, yeah. It says here, and I can't actually believe it myself, because this is the sort of thing which doesn't happen in your life. It says Guy has a new way to record the podcast. Again.
Yeah. Is that true? Oh, my. Well, is that true? It is true. This all kind of came to a head when I did the interview, not last weekend, but the weekend before that with Drew Domkus from the Dawn and Drew show. And we were having such horrible Skype problems. And I was thinking that, you know, is this a combination of just, you know, Skype being its usual or occasional horrible self? Or is it because, you know, Audio Hijack Pro is dragging my system down? And then, of course, trying to edit a show that has three different audio files of different links that also incorporate a second or two of Skype dropout between each time somebody is speaking was making me insane. So I was telling all this to Drew, and I'll give him credit for this. And he was saying that when he records via Skype, he uses this program from ecam.com called Skype Call Recorder, or just Call Recorder. And I said, okay, well, you know, they have a trial version, so I just go ahead and give it a try. So I did try it, and I did a little test with Gaz and Bob DeGran, and it worked just great. And the weird thing was it records it as a movie file, which is very odd, but I think that's because since Skype has video chat capability, that's just kind of the default that they use. So that in itself is pretty cool. But what I was concerned about was being able to break off the Skype conversation from my microphone conversation, so that in case, you know, one side was too hot or one side was too soft, that I could adjust it instead of just relying on Levelator to, you know, magically make everything sound the way that it should. But they include a couple different options, and one of them actually splits the audio file between one source and the other source. So, you know, but the great thing is, of course, that it gives you equal links audio files, so you can just take those two files, drop them in, line them up, and start your regular editing process, which is kind of what I was doing before with Wiretap Anywhere, because it was, you know, all just one long file right there in GarageBand. Well, now I don't even have to have GarageBand running, because hopefully, unless something goes horribly wrong, everything is being recorded through Call Recorder from Ecamm.
Yeah,
and that's it.
I think I used Call Recorder many moons ago when I first came over to the Mac for Skype, and those additions that they give you are actually free additions, aren't they?
Yes.
I mean, there are various different options that you can extract from the package, I think. Yeah. And yes,
yeah, yeah. But they give you basically all of it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a cracking little app, and those MOV files it creates are certainly not ones that you want to keep, because an MOV file is going to be big. But you're not keeping those files, yeah. So it doesn't really affect you too much, does it?
No, it doesn't really matter. And the best part is it's $20.
Excellent.
As compared to, let's say, other audio programs that I have used in the past costing thousands. Well, not thousands, but you know, $100 more or less. If this works, I will be delighted.
You'll be a happy bunny, we say over here.
I will be a happy bunny. I will hop all over this room and probably knock stuff off the walls.
Well, that's apt, as it's
because that's nearly, what I do when I hop around.
Yeah, as it's nearly Easter. Okay, so should we get into some app picks?
I think we should.
Are you sure? You know, you don't sound too certain.
Yeah. Do you want me to go first? I'm so very, very sure.
Where's the kaboom? There was supposed to be an earth-shattering kaboom.
No, not a kaboom.
Oh, just, spin my nipple you nuts and send me to Alaska.
Squirrel. You go first.
No. Okay, I'll go first. I went to, after I got my cell phone back, I went over to the local Apple store, and they had this cool little device called the, and this is from Belkin, it's the live action camera grip, and it actually plugs into the 30 pin dot connector on your iPhone or iPod Touch. And one of the cool things about it is that the two grips on either side have a little bend to them, so if you have a relatively, you know, not a real super thick case, you can still use this thing. But the buttons that are on top connect up through your 30-pin connector. One takes a picture. The other one starts the video camera. And you can also, well, actually, you kind of have to use their app called the Live Action app, which is free from iTunes. The camera grip itself is about $50, $49.99. There'll be links in the show notes. And I'm kind of looking forward to giving it a try. One other cool thing that I found about the grip was it also has a thread on the bottom that you can use to put it on like standard camera tripods.
I didn't realize he was going to finish then, Guy. It was almost the same.
Take it away, Gaz.
He's going to say something else, surely. He's not just going to leave it there, is he? He's still going. I can't believe it.
He's still going.
Oh, okay.
What have you got?
He wants me to finish. Okay, now I'm going to say something, and I know that people are going to say, ah, sacrilege. But I'm going to say it anyway. Antivirus software.
Ah, sacrilege.
Yes, you got that bit right. Okay, pop over to clamxav.com. That's clamxav.com. But I can hear lots of people shouting, why, oh, why do I need to do such a thing, Gaz? I mean,
wait, hold on. Gaz. Yes? Why, oh, why do I need to do such a thing, Gaz?
Have you gone crazy? Go on.
Have you gone crazy?
God damn, do you not read the edit?
Why, there's no viruses for the Mac. Why would I need antivirus software?
No, but there are a few Trojans, but that's even that you can probably live without. But I'll tell you what, I bet if you run this, you may just find a few threats that are hanging around your Macintosh, which may not affect your operating system, but they may well affect friends of yours who have not yet migrated over from the Windows world. And that is pretty big reason, I think, to use an antivirus solution for the Mac. Now, this one is a donate button. There's a PayPal donate button on it. It is free, free to download, free to try. It's a pretty clean. There are a few out there. I also use a company called Sophos, And there are plenty of, and that's a free option as well. There are plenty of other paid options out there, which I don't think at this stage are needed. But this uses the open software, the open source Clam AV antivirus engine. So it's always being updated. It's not like it's, you know, free, so it's not going to keep you up to date. But, you know, if you are, if you've just recently moved over and you've still got a concern and you, you know, you quite like running antivirus. Why would you like running antivirus? But you never know. When I came over, I missed having to do. It's like a game. It is. Just keeping in front. And if you're sharing a lot
search
of files.
Search and destroy.
If you're sharing a lot of files between yourself and friends or even yourself and another Windows machine, then, you know, it wouldn't be a bad idea just to run something like this in the background.
Yeah, I pretty much agree. Because if you do find something on your Mac and you pass it off to someone else, that's exactly what you're going to hear. And it's also available at the Mac App Store. I should have known.
Now, Guy, guess what? We've got a people's pick this week.
Oh, good.
You can't believe it, can you?
Oh, I like this one.
You do?
No, I think I picked this one last week.
Did you? Did you
Did
really?
I pick this one? No. I picked a bunny game. No, Robot Likes Kitty. That's what I picked last week. Or Wants Robot. Kitty.
Yeah, I'm not even going to.
Robot that. Wants Kitty.
Yeah.
It's the next zombie. I'm telling you. It's the next zombie app.
Right. Okay. Now, okay. Have you finished? I'm done. Now, you're going to need to send Andy a Wooty, of course.
Okay.
But he said it's very simple but very addictive. And he actually works with a chap that wrote it. So any comments or suggestions, I'll pass on, he said, which I think he could have given us a little bit more. But it's called Lexigon. And Lexigon basically is a word-searching game. It says, with a difference, when you find a word. You see, Andy, you should have told me all this, because all I'm now doing is reading from the website or from the page. And it's an iPad or iPhone app. It's a game with a difference. When you find a word, those letters are gone, and you have to search with a new board. You can play in solo mode against the clock. Each word you find gives you more time to find yet more words. So there you go. It's another word game, but this one, it's a little bit like anybody in the UK will remember, I forget the name of the program now, but Bob Holness used to compare it. And the famous saying is, basically this is, you have to go across the board with the letters and you have to answer the question. So pupils would stand either side of this particular board, and it's like hexagon across this board. And
right.
Whenever a letter came up, like the letter P, it was always very amusing where the kid said, "Can I have a P, Bob?" Anyway, Lexigon. It's
a great app.
And it's a great app. And it's free. It's free, yeah.
I have it, and I've played it on both the iPhone and the iPad, and it's one of my new, I've got a few minutes with absolutely nothing to do, and this is the game I'm going to play.
Okay, there you go. That's a good recommendation from our own Guy Sir.
Yes, thank you. I'll be here all week. Make sure you tip your bartenders and waitresses. Okay, Facebook. We have a Facebook page, which if you've listened to the last 20 shows where we've done nothing but harp about it, we need more likes for it. And it is foolish and petty. And we are currently up to 119 likes. Thank you all so very, very much. We love our Facebook page. Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed.
Any UK iTunes reviews?
No.
No?
There's none. Absolutely none. Not since the last one. So, any listeners, if you feel inclined, and I'm sure after listening to this you won't feel inclined, but, you know, have pity on us and go over to iTunes and give us a review.
Because we just get so excited. We get so excited when there's a new iTunes review.
And you'll get a
Which is so sad.
And you'll get a mention on air. There. What could be better than that?
As a matter of fact, Smoblo, you still need to send me an email so that I can send you your Woody.
There you go.
Who was the last U.S.
Do you know, I think we should actually do a competition where the only way people can enter is if they do an iTunes review.
And what will they win, Bob? A new car! No, believe me, that is not going to be in the works at all.
Oh, dear. I should be.
Okay.
So, Guy, if people wanted to contact you, how would they do such a thing?
They can contact me through email at guy@mymac.com and on the Twitters at twitter.com/MacParrot. Squirrel! Cass. How could they contact you?
Squirrel!
They can contact me if they really, 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 really want to at gaz@mymac.com or on the Twitters, twitter.com/gazmaz, G-A-Z-M-A-Z.
Now, and we have one more Twitter account that you can contact us. Yes, we do. We're not prolific on it,
but we do occasionally go in there and say stuff.
Yes. It's twitter.com/guyandgaz.
That's GUYANDGAZ. Now, you can also send an email to feedback@mymac.com, which will go to Fearless Leader. He'll look at it, shake his head, sigh a couple of times, and probably forward it to us.
Yeah, whether it's good or bad.
Yeah,
so here you go.
Yes.
It's your fault. That's how the conversation will start. It'll be, it's your fault. And Gaz, we also have a Skype number. God, we love Skype.
Yeah, is it 767-214?
No, that's a Boeing. That's a Boeing jet.
Sorry. What's the number then?
Try again. One more time.
747-371.
Being a genius certainly has its advantages.
No, it's not right.
All right, Nick. Can I try one more time?
Yes.
7-0-3-4-3-6-9-5-0-1. I'm sorry.
That's it. 7-3-4-3-6-9-5-0-1. Call and collect, call and direct, but call it today. Oh, and we just want to say before we go, thank you all so very, very much for downloading the MyMac.com podcast. There are some weeks where we have to question your sanity for doing so.
Because we question ours every week.
Every single week.
There's something screwy around here.
Gaz, what's that last word?
End.
Thanks for downloading the MyMac.com podcast. Please check out the Stoplight Network for other podcasts like the Tech Fan Podcast, Pocket Size Podcast, Not Another Mac Podcast, Geekiest Show Ever, the Mac Specialist Podcast, and the all-new App Minute Podcast.
When Guy records a podcast, he could do it just one way like he should. It's not that he's lazy, it's just Skype makes him crazy, while Gaz thinks it all just sounds good.